We're doing Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Shin Memchet, and the Magen Midovna had described seven attitudes that one can adopt to contain one's anger when approached by people or by a person who is making cantankerous remarks, saying things that are annoying and hurtful. And now recognize the distinction between the two types of reaction. Both people are silent, but you have a person who's silent because of awe or love, as we described earlier. Be it the person who is silent because of awe or love, or someone who is silent because he recognizes his position in this world. He recognizes that things are passing. He recognizes his weaknesses and is humble. So when a person has humility, then his silence is very different than a person who just doesn't want to suffer the brunt of the reaction of trying to react. So there's a distinction. We discussed earlier that when one is silent for fear or for love, so then it's true that their lips don't move. They are silent. But their anger burns inside them. It's like the seething of a snake. And deep down inside, what they really want to do is give back the person and pay him back tenfold. But on the contrary, he contains himself with his might. Either because he has fear of heaven or because he wants to find favor in the eyes of heaven. We said out of love or out of fear, he is silent, but he is not at peace. But when a person is silent out of humility, so then he can maintain tranquility through this silence because he is at peace with his choice to be silent. He has attained that inner peace so that even though someone is making these remarks, he doesn't take them to heart. So if a person is fighting himself, so that's good. We have to take control of ourselves, but you can never be confident that you'll always win. Because maybe when he will be very upset, then he'll lose it. Wine, when it gets very, very powerful, can crack even brand new bottles. When the wine is very strong, it can cause even strong bottles to crack. But a person who is silent out of humility, so then the fact that someone else is cursing him out doesn't penetrate. He doesn't take it to heart. He doesn't even get upset at the person who says that. So he can be confident he's not going to answer because he can be at peace with himself. He knows he's not perfect. He knows he has what to work on. He knows there's an element of truth in what's being said to him. So now he has to overcome it. He has to work on it. Being silent isn't difficult for him. It doesn't require an effort to really take control of himself. Because in all honesty, he's at a point where the affront that's being laid at him is not penetrating. And now he tells himself, he says, my soul, focus on the rungs of the ladder that leads you up to Beit El, to the house of Hashem. And if you can't float and swiftly go up the ladder to attain such heights, so at least go up to the middle rungs. And from there you'll continue climbing, at least attain a level of mediocrity. At least be silent for the wrong reasons and work your way up from there. He tells himself, put a plug in it. Blom picha. Blom literally means put the brakes on your mouth and don't be so quick to go out and fight. And certainly not to instigate a fight. Because if you get him upset, that's causing him to sin as well. The Medrash says he who causes his friend to sin is worse than someone who kills him. Because killing a person is in this world, but causing them to sin causes them to lose the next world. We saw it in last week's parsha, right? The Midianites caused us to lose our portion in the world to come, so we have a greater hatred toward them. A person has to make the conscious choice to speak with his friends binachat, out of tranquility. I mentioned to Rav Listman this week that one of the lessons I repeatedly try to learn from Rav Bigun is the tranquility. I've never seen him lose his calm. Now, I saw him the Shabbos after he lost his son. I saw him as his son was dying. I saw him when the roof here collapsed. I've seen him under serious pressure. Never seen him lose his cool. Yeah.
How did his son pass?
He had cancer. I saw him when his wife was found to be ill. I saw him when they had to fly out to the United States and they didn't know what would be with her. He's had to deal with a lot of things in life. And yet, he always has that calm, that serenity. I mentioned it to Rav Listman, and Rav Listman said, yeah, that's because he has a wholeness. When a person can attain a certain wholeness, so then everything they do stems from that inner peace. So he says, "Uvechar lecha," he says to himself, "choose for yourself ledaber im chaverecha benachat, to speak with your friend calmly, uvesafa rafa, and in a soft-spoken voice, keilu me'afar tishach im ratcha, as though what you're saying is a voice that's coming from the ground, something so gentle." And when your brother shames you and you find yourself getting angry, nonetheless, be careful to answer him saying things calmly and pleasantly. As the verse says, Ma'ane rach yashiv chima. Shlomo HaMelech says, a gentle response will check anger, will bring anger back in check. So someone comes in and yells at you, I can't believe you did that to me. And you say, what did I do? You try to answer gently. You're already taking the steps to diffuse the situation. As tiyeh noach lamakom venoach labriot. And when a person can attain this level, then he is pleasant before heaven, and he is pleasant on earth. Ki lo timtza dvarim arevim el ozne ha-shomea, kadvarim ha-neemarim b'safa rafa u-venachat. Because you won't find things pleasant to the listener like things that are said gently and peacefully. Ve'az b'chai v'rech Yisrael. And then Israel will bless, and you people will look at you as someone to look up to admire, to bless their children to be like you. And behave this way even though it's external. You haven't yet attained that inner peace. Till you attain that real level of humility, of inner peace. As was explained earlier. Then things are going to be so great for you. You've attained such heights. You have such great wages. So this is a recurring theme as we work on bettering ourselves, that sometimes we have to fake it like we have a trait, and then slowly it becomes second nature. So when it comes to patience, that's a tremendous attribute. When it comes to being warm to people, caring, we fake it initially. Someone comes in and says, I have to tell you what happened today. So the truth is, you feel like saying, I'm not interested. But if you look at him and say, really, tell me. And you look and you feign interest, so then in time you will be interested. Initially you act as though you care, and then eventually you really do care. And sometimes you have to do it with your own kid. You come home and the kid says, Abba, let me show you the picture I drew. You're rushing, you want to know. A million other things are on your mind. But you stop and you force yourself and you say, really, show me, what is this? I can tell you guys something I can't say in shul. I strongly recommend taking a nap Thursday, Friday, so you come to Shabbos well rested. Because your kids are going to come and ask you to go over the parsha with them, and you have to run a Shabbos table, and if you're walking into Shabbos very tired, so then it's difficult to have the patience that the children deserve. But what happens if it didn't work out? So first thing you got to do is think about how to make it work next week. Don't use the cop-out I'm about to give you. But what do you do for this week? So if you could lean your head on your hand and shut your eyes and grab a dream while they're singing, and maybe the rabbi's talking, that's why I can't say this in shul. And then you wake up 10 minutes later and you have renewed strength, and with that you'll have the koch to run the Shabbos table the way you should. But you know what? Very often it's worth it. Very often by getting that cat nap, you'll be able to run the Shabbos table the way you should. Okay, that's your first responsibility. Hopefully you'll have a good rabbi that'll give you messages that will help you build life correctly, and it won't be worth missing his speeches. But at the end of the day, you got to think about your schedule so that you walk into Shabbos well rested, so you can do this. You can be patient and accepting, and even though it might not come naturally to listen to your kids tell you about the drawings they made, you'll have the inner fortitude to force yourself to smile and do it right. Do it with patience and love. Yes?
Was it you that you were saying that you were giving a speech at one point and then just everybody fell asleep and then you stopped giving the speech?
Not everybody fell asleep, but I was once giving a speech and three people started snoring loudly, and it was like a concert, and I couldn't. It was so funny.
To fall asleep in the middle of
it. It's not nice. That's why I said it's not your first option. Sit in the back, and if it's a last option, so sometimes it's better than the alternative. I agree. The first option is get a nap on Thursday, get a nap on Friday. I have to tell you that when I give a speech, I'm probably the guy who's least interested, because I always joke with my wife. I say, you know, the rabbi's so boring. He never says something I didn't know. But I don't have that option of napping while I speak. So you can sleep Shabbos Friday afternoon. You can take a nap Thursday and come in better prepared for Shabbos. And that's part of the foresight you have to be a good parent. But that's coming back to this idea that Magid Mitivna was saying, you fake the trait and slowly it becomes real. You talk to your kids with love and patience, even though you might not have that love and patience. And with time, you will.